Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right, hey, and thank you for joining us on the podcast. You're listening to Grace for This City podcast. Hey, we're giving you biblical strategies to help you turn your world, your city, upside down. One of my favorite verses, I quoted a lot on the podcast, is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And it's talking about the apostles. Or in our day, because of the work of the Holy Ghost and Christ in you and me, the believers, we give witness to the resurrection power of Jesus. And there were demonstrations, there were signs, there was wonders, there was manifestations because of that witness to that resurrection power. And it says great grace was upon them. You know, the grace is what we need to turn our cities upside down. And so that's what we're here for today, folks. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Hey, listen, you're going to be built up and strengthened today. And I believe you're going to turn your city upside down. Let us know when you do. We want to celebrate. We want to shout with you. Hey, we got a great show for you today, and I'm joined in the studio once again by some fantabulous people. Give it up for Christina and Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Guys, tell us a little bit about your week. You've had a good week?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, Christina, you recently did a float trip.
I did. I did. It was hard on my body, but I did it. It was really good. It was about double what I normally would have done in the past. And okay. So it was a good day. I never feared for my life, so that was good.
Hey, that
it was
is
just
good.
A lot physically. It was really good.
Folks, we are in the Ozarks. Okay, we are nestled in the Ozarks. And there's several rivers and lakes around here. People come in from all over to come to this beautiful part of the country. So Christina took advantage of were y'all on the Buffalo River?
Yes, sir.
So she was on the Buffalo River. And though it may have been hard on your body, it's good for the soul.
It was. I did a lot of praying that day.
Hey, folks, if you need a prayer retreat, come float the Buffalo. Huh? Yeah. Anyways, Bob, what about your week?
Had a tremendous week. This was a miraculous week.
Amen.
And testimony for my family and my wife. But we'll save that for another edition.
Yeah.
But
God is good.
But God is good, and we got proof of healing in my wife's body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We believe Jesus is our healer.
Yes.
And we're so thankful.
That's why we got authority.
That's exactly
one of the reasons we got authority.
Exactly.
We take it to our homes and take it to our families and avail ourselves of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, that will be a great podcast. We should plan on that. And we'll talk about the healing power of God. Praise the Lord. Well, this day, what is today? Today is June the 11th. By the way, today's my anniversary. Hey.
Happy anniversary.
So, hey, if my beautiful wife is watching or listening, hey, I love you. We are celebrating 15 years of bliss. And I like what my friend Clay Nash says. You know, he talks about that, you know, marriage, the union of man and woman, isn't so much about companionship as much as it is about conquest. And I, you know, I've heard him talk about that. And God's design revolves around this idea of the power of agreement. Mm. Yeah. And man, a lot can be done when we come together. That theme is all throughout the scriptures. You know, there's synergy. You know, one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. God divinely set this thing up. And so we've got four amazing children. I have three boys and a girl. I am a blessed man.
Yes, you are.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, you are. So, Christina and I were at that wedding.
Yes.
Yes.
You two youngins getting hitched.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, that was, 2005. Mm-hmm. And that was a grand time. We had fairies at our wedding.
Long story.
Yeah. In fact, Christina, your husband, Mike, he built this bridge that we used to walk over this little waterway Oh, man. Yeah. Good times. Mm-hmm. Good times.
Yeah.
Great memories. So, yeah, y'all were at my wedding. Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I vaguely remember all the details of that day. I was just enamored by my wife.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And it was really hot. And it rained. And we thought it was going to get rained out. It was an outdoor wedding. And it rained cats and dogs, but then it cleared up just in time for the wedding.
Yes.
God's good like that. Well, hey, let's jump right into the podcast today. And hey, we've been in a series. We've been, you know, talking about the authority of the believer, or we could say the believer's authority. And I think we've done several podcasts now. What is this, number four? I think this is number four now. Is this number four where we've talked about this theme? Bob's thinking. I'm not sure. I didn't look. It's three or four. And but go back in the archives. Check out the other podcasts we did on the...
I believe it's four.
Okay, it's four. Bob knows. Okay, so it's number four. And this is some good stuff. And we believe that it will encourage you and strengthen you and help you. Listen, there is unseen forces out there. There's an unseen realm. But just because it's unseen doesn't mean it's not real. And you have an enemy, demonic spirits, influences, demonic influences that are trying to subvert, control, and dominate your life and other people's lives. But through the work of Jesus Christ, we have authority over these things, meaning we are a higher power. We have privileges. We have authority that they do not have. And specifically, I think I read this on one of the podcasts, Luke 10:19. Jesus said, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. So you need to know about your authority, but you also need to use it. You need to walk in it. You need to have confidence in it. You need to be sure that you are well-versed in how to use it. And so, you know, the intention of our podcast is just give you some strategies and to motivate you along these lines. So we've been using some materials. Of course, you know, we have our own experiences. We have the things that we've been trained in. But we've been using this book, The Believer's Authority. By the way, you can tune in facebook.com/Grace for This City podcast. You can watch the podcast live. And there's some bonus content, some behind the scenes before we actually go live recording the audio. And so if you'd like to be participants in that, then tune in with us Thursdays at 10 a.m. You watch it live. Also on the YouTube channel, Grace for This City podcast YouTube channel. Check it out there. But we've been using this book right here, The Believer's Authority by Kenneth E. Hagin. Now, there's some other really great books, Dr. Billy Brim, John A. McMillan. There's other people that have written excellent material along these lines, but we've chosen just to use this as a guide to help us through these podcasts. And so we're going to jump into this, and if you have a copy of this book, we're going to be looking at chapters 4, 5, and 6 today. But if you're going to go forward, if you're going to navigate, if you're going to be within and among snakes and scorpions, you need to know about the authority that you have. You need to be confident that you can navigate that authority, enforce that authority, so that you can go forward, not be taken advantage of by the enemy. In fact, and according to Luke 10:19, you can crush the enemy. So, I mean, you are just going to be a force to be reckoned with.
You know, if we will only recognize and understand what God has provided for us, we can enjoy the victory that we have in Christ, and that comes through our authority. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's move in here. Let's turn. If you got your book, okay. I don't know if you got your books, but let's look at this chapter 4, and this particular title of the chapter here is Breaking the Power of the Devil. Well, you have to be more powerful than said devil if you are going to break his power. If you're going to break anything, you've got to be stronger than the substance of the material you're attempting to break. And so here we go. I mean, the theme that I've been carrying throughout these podcasts is the consideration, something you need to think about, meditate on, study into, is the unique relationship we have with Christ. In fact, we're one with Christ, okay? We're seated with him. We're fit together with him. And what Christ has done on the cross, the shedding of his blood, the new covenant, the availability that the Holy Ghost has now to totally cause us to be born again. Now we're sons, okay? We are creatures that have never existed before. This is that unique mystery. It's no longer a mystery now. It's being revealed to us. But we are one with Christ. We are part and parcel of his body. Jesus, the head of this body, but you and I are members. If we're born again, we're members of this body. And there is a foundational revelation, understanding of where all of our authority and our power comes from. Listen, the devil should be just as afraid of you as he is of Jesus, because you are part of the body.
That's good.
What flows through the head into the body is available to you. So he starts out here with breaking the power of the devil. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." He says the word of God teaches us that these evil spirits are fallen angels who have been dethroned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our contact and or interaction with these demons should be with the knowledge that Jesus defeated them, spoiled them, put them to naught, Galatians 2:15. And now that Jesus has dethroned them, you and I can reign over them. So let me make this statement, and you guys just jump in here. Something we need to know and remember when it comes to, quote, spiritual warfare. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there on spiritual warfare.
Yes.
Okay? It can get into some really weirdo stuff. But we have to remember, we are not fighting for victory. Because in Christ,
yes,
the victory's already been won.
Yes.
Okay?
As believers, our interaction, our point of interaction here, comes from the place of total victory. So we are enforcing what Christ has done. We are not fighting or battling for victory. In Christ, we already have the victory. He went to the cross. He was slain. He went to hell. He got keys. He was raised. A spectacle was made over them. He's been placed at the Father's right hand. Now we're born again. So when the Father raised the head, he raised the body. We're seated together with Christ at the right hand in the heavenlies above and over. He said these things will become footstools. These enemies will become footstools. So we're not fighting for victory. We're not scrambling. We're not exhausting ourselves, hoping we're going to win, just a hoping and a praying, wishing, you know, we might win, maybe, if we're strong enough. You know, abracadabra, none of that. That's garbage. Christ already won the victory. We're interacting, we're engaging the enemy from a place of victory.
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking as you were talking about that a lot of times when I hit the point of like frustration at the roof or completely exhausted, I recognize a lot of times that I've been leaning into the flesh, leaning into what I know, and
right,
you know what I mean, and have to return back to that spot of, I already have the victory through him, and I need to stop it because it works.
Well, he can exhaust you, right?
Yeah, he can.
You get all wrapped up in like what you're saying works.
Yes.
Trying
yes.
to work for the victory, earn
well,
it.
Well, and I've heard it over and over again. Don't get over in the natural with him. Don't get over in your mind. You stay in the spirit.
Right.
You stay in the spirit and stay in the word with when you're engaging the enemy.
That's good.
You know, Romans 5:17, it explains why we have the authority. It says, for if because of one man's trespass lapse or offense. Death reigned through that one. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, the unmerited favor,
that's good,
and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself. We reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We get to reign with him. And as kings, we have authority.
Yeah. We're reigning with and we reign through.
Yes.
So listen, friends, first thing we need to understand here is the righteousness we have because of what Christ has done. We're seated, we're fit, we're one, we're sons. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, so we're not fighting for victory. Christine, thank you for bringing that up, because yeah, it's so easy to get into the flesh here. It's so easy to feel like in this whatever situation that you don't have victory, or you don't have a promise of total provision, protection, life, whatever. And now you're trying to fight. You're trying to figure out, how do I get it? I know I need it. How do I get it? And so it gets easy to get into the flesh rather than resting. And according to the Bible, there's really only one fight we're fighting, and that is the fight of faith.
That's right.
Which is another way of saying, we could say this, what we are contending for is to stay in the place of total confidence and trust in what Christ has done. And so, and this could be real time, in the sense of, because you have the Holy Ghost, you're getting like up to date, minute by minute, as they say, moment by moment, updates, information, revelation. So as the Holy Ghost is ministering to you, you're receiving it by faith, and now you're enforcing that revelation, that instruction. So we're not just talking about you can go into the scriptures, you can find out what Christ has done. Yes, you're believing for those things, but he's with you right now. So there's situations that you're dealing with and facing right now that there may not be chapter and verse on, but the Holy Ghost is going to minister to you, okay? He's going to say, I want you to do this. See, once you have that instruction is coming from a place of total victory in Christ. And so you're going to receive it by faith, and you're going to fight the fight of faith to stay in a place of total confidence that what you heard by the Holy Ghost is what's going to happen.
And how do you fight that fight of faith? The word says faith comes by hearing the word.
Yes.
And of course, we understand that to mean hearing and hearing and hearing. And yep, we have to continually, mm-hmm, that is the fight of faith that we need to do. We need to be involved. We need to be as Brother Hagin says in this book, he says, there are spiritual vitamins and minerals, yes, so to speak, we need to take every day to be healthy Christians.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. And
that's good.
Over that, like right in that section, it talks about meditating and feeding on these truths, so they become a part of our consciousness. And you know what I was just kind of thinking? I was thinking about fighter pilots. And I was thinking about the parachute guys. What do they call that? Paratroopers. They do it so much that it becomes like second nature. And I think that's, you know, what he's hinting at here is we have to meditate and meditate and meditate. So then when the attack hits and tries to knock you off your feet, your first reaction is no, I have authority, put the devil on the run, I don't have to put up with this, you're here illegally, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's got to become second nature. It's like driving a stick. When you drive a stick now, you don't think about it, right? I mean, you just get it and do it.
Yeah, you move your feet and your hands in sequence.
Yeah.
Let's see, that I was thinking of right here. Let's... In Brother Hagin's book, he shares this story that had to do with his brother. And this is, the enemy is going to mess with you. Okay, the enemy has Now, I don't know exactly what the devil knows or doesn't know, but what I'm saying is he has a pretty good idea of the, he has a pretty good handle of the scriptures. He's pretty good. I mean, he's had a little bit of time to read through the Bible, you know. And he understands the justice and the judgment system to some extent. So he kind of has an understanding of how this authority works. You and I, you know, we are coming into greater revelation of how the kingdom operates. The devil has a pretty good idea of it. And so he's going to buffet you. He's going to fight you. And he's working to keep you ignorant or blinded to the truth. And so all of us, okay, all of us are going to have to stay on our toes, so to speak, on this issue, because this is probably one of the issues that the enemy is going to really work to get you off of or distracted from or confused about, because he doesn't want to have to submit. The Bible tells us in James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He does not want you to be confident in your posture of resistance. He doesn't want you to be issuing commands. He does not want you to be confident that when you say something, what you say is going to come to pass. He wants you to doubt, back up, question. He wants you to be tossed to and fro. Okay? So, this reality of standing strong on what is yours and what authority you have, Brother Hagin has a really interesting story, so I'm kind of working my way towards it here. But this is a section that he called Authority Now. And he's talking about that our authority is now. It's now. Mm-hmm. When there is something that will hurt and destroy, let me see here. It's now. When there is something that will hurt and destroy, that we have authority. But many people believe we can't have much of anything now. They think Satan's running everything down here. We must remember, however, that although we are in the world, we are not of the world. Satan's running a lot of what is here on the earth, but he's not running me. You know, I heard this guy the other day. He was talking about how, you know, Jesus or God, he's not in control of everything. Okay, he's in control of the church. Jesus is not the head of the world. He's the head of the church. But through the body of Christ, this is how he's legislating his will into the earth. You got to understand that all this has to do with you and me. The devil's not in control of everything. Okay, he's got to work through people too. Jesus is not in control of everything. He's got to work through people too, meaning he's not independently doing things outside of the body. And the devil would love to just do whatever he wants to do, but he's got to work through people in the earth. All right? Of course, the devil's not running the church. He's not dominating the church. We can dominate him. We have authority over him. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Does the church in this century have less authority than it did right after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, ascension, and seating at the Father's right hand? If it has less authority today, it would have been better for Jesus not to have died. But no, we have authority. We need to build these truths into our lives by meditating and feeding upon them until they become part of our consciousness. That's what we're talking about here. They've got to become second nature to us. Naturally speaking, we eat certain foods because the doctors tell us we need vitamins. Okay? But they're spiritual vitamins. All right, now let me skip down here. Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All the authority that can be exercised upon the earth has to be exercised through the church, because Christ is not here in person in his physical body. But how is Christ present today? One, by his spirit indwelling in us, and two, because we're here. Hallelujah. We're ambassadors. Okay? Even though we have prayed, now, Lord, you do this and that, leaving everything up to him, he has conferred his authority on the earth to his body, the church. So in other words, you can't just leave everything up to him when he's working through. He's not independently doing things outside of his body. He's working through his body. He's saying many problems exist because we permit them to. We're not doing anything about them. We're the ones who are supposed to be doing something about them, but we're trying to get someone else, including God, to do something about them. You know, this is where that comes down to, you know, people say, well, you know, God's in control. You know, God's in control. You know, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, because God is absolutely in control of absolutely everything. No, he's not. Not when he has given the authority to us, and then we yield that authority, or we are not very good stewards of it, and the devil takes advantage of us, manipulates us, deceives us, and we end up working for him, and he's using us. We're supposed to be yielded to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, it all goes back to you and me. We're kind of the common denominator here. All right, I'm trying to get to this point here. Brother Hagin said, this became real to me years ago when I was studying along these lines. I couldn't explain it in my mind, but I knew it in my spirit. I began to understand this authority we have. While praying for my older brother's salvation, listen, this is going to get real here. While praying for my older brother's salvation, I heard the Lord in my spirit challenge me. He said, you do something about it. I had been praying for my brother's salvation for many years. He was what you would call the, quote, black sheep of the family. Anybody got any of those?
Yes.
No.
No? There's no black sheep.
Wait, me.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, my family looks at it like I'm the black sheep.
Bob is the black sheep. Well, listen, Bob's family, if you're listening, I'm going to teach you how to pray for Bob right here. No, the Lord revealed something here. Now, listen, friend, you probably got somebody in your immediate family, or you know somebody that you dearly love, but you know they're on the wrong track. Mm-hmm. You know they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing. And, you know, we know it's God's will that they would be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish. We know it's God's will. Several scriptures. I mean, this is obvious. Obvious in the scripture, God desires that all would be saved.
Amen.
And the Bible even says, you know, that he's patient and he's long suffering and he's waiting. There's a lot of things God could just do, but he desires that people would be saved. Listen, friend, God desires your family member. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a sibling. Whatever the situation is, God desires that person that's on your heart to be saved. But yet, maybe you've been praying for them, and we keep asking God, God, do something. God, do something. God, do something. Oh, I love them. Do something. My husband, my wife. Whatever. Oh, we love them. Do something. God, do something. Oh, do something. Do something. And then you may even have found yourself begging and pleading God. Do something. Do something. He's already expressed, I desire. I desire. I want them saved. I desire. But what is our part in this? All right? So I think this is going to be real for a lot of folks here mm-hmm. listening on the podcast today. Of course, these are principles. You can apply this to other things. But listen, the Lord challenged him. He said, you do something about it. I had been praying for my brother's salvation for many years. He's what you call a black sheep. But in spite of my prayers, he seemed to get worse. I had always prayed, God, save him. I'd even fasted. I was prone to slip back into praying this way. But after the Lord challenged me to do something about it, after he told me I had the authority, I said this. Now listen, this is what Kenneth E. Hagin, the Lord was dealing with him concerning his authority, challenged him in this area concerning a sibling. And Brother Hagin stepped out in faith, stepped up and into the authority that he had been studying about, that the Holy Ghost was revealing to him, and he prayed this prayer. Listen, he said this, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the devil over my brother's life, and I claim his salvation. He goes on to say, he said, I gave the order. Whoa, 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 wait a second here. Who's calling the shots? Well, the one in charge is. Y'all have been in management positions. Y'all have been in a position to where you were, you know, what's that saying? The buck stopped at your desk, right?
Right.
And at some point, if you wanted the things to go the way that you believed they needed to go, at some point you were going to have to start giving orders, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, people who've worked for you or under you, or you were responsible for what their actions were. At some point, you were going to have to give the order that, hey, things need to do, you know, this needs to work out like this. This needs to happen. You're going to have to do this. Mm-hmm. Well, see, listen, most people don't, or maybe they're struggling with the reality that they have the total authority over the devil. But you're not going to give any orders if you're working for the devil. You're going to have to see yourself in a place or mm-hmm. position of higher authority, higher power. Your words have greater weight than anybody else's. So he said this, I gave the order. He gave the order. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, I want you to practice this right now. I want you to say this, I give orders around here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Who calls the shots? I call the shots.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you're going to get comfortable. Now, this isn't about, you know, being a rude dog with people, with real people, okay? Okay? You know, it might not be best practice to go find your spouse right after the podcast and say, hey, I give the orders around here.
Bad move.
Yeah.
We're not endorsing that. But when it comes to spiritual things, listen, you're going to have to stop being the weak one. You're going to have to stop being the one told what to do. Okay. You're going to have to stop being the one who just receives orders from the devil all the time. And you're going to have to rise up, put your big boy believer pants on, and you're going to say, look, today's a different day. I'm going to start giving the orders from now on. When you wake up in the morning, Myrna and I did this morning. We go into our living room. I got my blessed cup of coffee in the name of Jesus. And we sit down and we pray.
Amen.
And we take our authority. You know, we quote several scriptures, but we take our authority. Now, I didn't this morning, but many times we'll say, and devil, we command you in the name of Jesus, you are not going to do, you know, such and such. Because who's giving the orders? I'm giving the orders. Bob's giving orders. Christina is calling the shots around here. All right, let's go on. Let's finish what he says. You guys jump in here at any time, okay? All right, he says, I gave the order. I didn't keep saying it or praying it. Now, repetition isn't a bad thing, but repetition that comes from a place of doubt is a bad thing. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
There's no power in just saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over in that sense, as if somehow if you don't believe what you say the first time, saying it the second time, if you don't believe what you're saying, just saying it isn't going to help you. You've got to give the orders in faith. From a position of faith, you can repeat yourself. We persist. You know, there's a theme throughout the scriptures talking about persistence. That's different. But he said, I didn't keep saying it or praying it. He said, when a king gives an order, he knows it's going to be carried out. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, listen. The devil tried to tell me my brother never would be saved. But I shut my mind off and started laughing. I said, I don't think he'll be saved. I know it. I took the name of Jesus and broke your power over him and claimed his deliverance and salvation. Listen, he had this conversation with the devil here. What's the devil doing? Trying to get him to doubt. Mm-hmm. Back off his command. Back off his decree. Waver. James talks about the unstable man. He said, don't think that he'll get anything that he asks. Who? The unstable guy. The guy who's tossed to and fro. What's the devil going to do? He's going to try and toss you around. He's going to try and get you off your decree. But he said, I don't think he'll be saved. I know it. I took the name of Jesus and I broke your power over him and claimed his deliverance and salvation. went on to say, I went on my way whistling, and within 10 days, my brother was saved.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on.
You know, one of the things that you had brought out, that when we do this, we direct it towards Satan and not towards the person that we're dealing with. Our authority not over that person. But we also have to do it to make sure that we're not being rude, mm-hmm. that we're not speaking rude. And I want to share something that, I'm sorry, it's not Brother Hagin, but it's from Rick Renner. And
we like Rick
it's
Renner.
It's from his book, Sparkling Gems.
Oh, excellent.
Tremendous, tremendous books. But he goes into John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Okay, he goes on, he writes, exactly how bold can you dare to be in prayer? Do you have the right to come into the presence of God and make certain demands of him? What are your rights, your limitations, and your boundaries when it comes to the issue of prayer? And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about prayer and it speaking directly to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he continues, he writes, Jesus used an attention-grabbing word in John 15:7 when he was speaking to the disciples about prayer. The King James Version, and I checked other versions and they all use it, ask what you will and it will be done unto you. The Greek word ask destroys any religion suggestion that we are lowly worms.
Wow. Wow.
Who have no right to come into the presence of God. It also destroys the picture that we must pitifully beg and plead for the things we need of the Lord. You see, the word ask is the Greek word aitio, a word that means to be adamant in requesting and demanding assistance to meet tangible needs such as food, shelter, money, and so forth. Although this word means to demand or to insist, it does not give a believer license to be arrogant or rude
right.
in his approach to God. In fact, in the New Testament, that word is used to portray a person addressing a superior. The person may insist or demand that a certain need be met, but he approaches and speaks to his superior with respect and honor.
Wow.
We relinquish our power to the Lord. We have our authority through him. So when we speak to the devil, we don't ask him. We are demanding that he yield to what the Lord has already told us.
Hallelujah, Bob. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, see, it's somewhat unfortunate that we have to include this thought of this appropriate, you know, attitude and posture before the Lord. But that is good. And see, the reason why we have to do that, we have to remind ourselves that the devil has lied to us. And he's tried to make it look like that we got to come in before the Lord like a little worm.
Right.
And plead and beg and be, hey, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm sorry to bother you. I know I'm worthless. If you just give me just a moment, just maybe here, I'm sorry. But I need this. But I'm sorry to bother you. That's not the relationship that God had designed for us. He loves us like he loves his own body, Ephesians right. 5 says.
Well, in is it Hebrews? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah. Come boldly. Oh,
yeah. Come boldly.
He said that.
He said that. Who said that? The King said that. Hallelujah.
And he said, let us come boldly.
Let us. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Christina, you got something there?
Let me see. Jesus made this statement in, let me see. Let me jump back up. Peter at the gate, beautiful, did not pray for the lame man. He demanded that he be healed.
That's it.
Mm, yeah.
You're not demanding of God when you demand your rights. You're demanding of the devil. And see, there's different places in the word where it talks about pray, and then it talks in different places where it says command, say, mm-hmm. decree. And we got to know which we need to use at which times. Mm-hmm. And when I believe, I've heard over and over again, when it comes to like healing and in bodies and stuff like that, we say. We're not asking because we know it's God's will every time.
Yeah.
We don't have to ask.
Let's look at real quick, because we're kind of on these lines. But is it 1 John? 1 John 5. This, verse 14, 1 John 5, 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask. Now, I didn't know this ahead of time, so I didn't look up that word, Bob, that you referenced.
That's worth looking up.
It is. Yeah, my guess is, without looking, folks, that's probably the same word that Bob was talking about out of the sparkling gems. But if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So, listen, this idea of the authority that we have is also connected with the reality that we are in relationship with the Heavenly Father. We're born again. We're made right. In Christ, we live and move and have our being. The Father is overjoyed to invite you into his presence, into his kingdom. He's saying, ask of me. Ask of me. And so this idea of taking our authority, we come up against a dirty, low down, good for nothing, forever loser, the devil. We shouldn't be acting like little worms here, little beggars. We're sons of the Most High. And it pleases him when we would advance his will, his righteousness, his kingdom, his rule, his ways. You know, you got to understand that the devil, he's a thief, he's a liar, he's a stealer. He wants to kill, he wants to destroy. We don't have to put up with that. We call the shots.
That's right.
We give the orders.
Well, just like the centurion that came to Jesus, and he said, I have men under authority, and mm-hmm. I tell them to go, and they go. Mm-hmm. Well, that centurion was under authority too, and he recognized that same power and authority in Jesus, and Jesus told that centurion, I have not seen such faith in all of Israel. Mm-hmm. And this was a Roman soldier, not a Jew.
Right. Wow. I love that story. Bob and Christina, I'm just thinking this, you know, that a lot of people don't understand how authority works. A lot of people don't have a concept or a belief in the power of their words. Mm-hmm. Okay. They also don't know or understand that the devil has been put in a place under. Okay. So meaning, if the scripture says that that you were below all principalities, power, authorities, then sure, we could argue whether or not your authority has any weight. But the Bible says that we've been placed over, mm-hmm. seated above.
Right.
God has already laid out the structure of authority. What, you know, Jesus the head, he has preeminence. Okay. Then the body. Okay. Then what's under the body or under the feet? That's the enemy. That's the devil. That's demons. Okay. So we got to release our faith that this is the structure. This is how the authority flows. Like the story you just talked about with the centurion. He said, there are men under me, and what I say they do. Where's the devil in reference to us as a believer? He's under us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. We're not fighting for this.
Yeah.
We were placed. He was placed and we were placed. This is just how it works. We need to believe. Listen, friend, believe it. Just choose to believe it, that you have authority, not by anything necessarily you've done, but by right of where God has placed you and has placed Jesus and has already said, this is where the enemy is. So what you say has weight.
Well, I think too, just how we stand in faith that we have the victory. We know, we believe what the word says. It's the same thing with that we've been placed above. Mm-hmm. We didn't earn it. We're not ever going to be able to earn it. There's nothing we can do. It's him. It's because it's of him. Jesus. And it's just, it's our birthright now. It's part of our covenant. And so we lean back in that, knowing that nothing can ever knock us out of that spot. And so that's what we come from. I'm above, you're beneath, you have to listen, period.
Amen. That's right.
Brother Hagin says, I base my faith on what the word says. Some people's faith is based not on the Bible, it's based on manifestation. Mm. And, you know, we've heard over and over again, you can't go by sight.
Right.
They operate outside of faith in the sense realm. If they get certain manifestations, they think the devil's gone. But he isn't gone just because you get a manifestation. He's still there, and you need to know that and exercise your authority. You can't just go by, you know, okay, things quieted down. I mean, that mm-hmm. can be.
Sure.
I mean, we can go by that sound at times, or that
Not
thing.
Not when you've got little kids in the house. Things can quiet down, and then you know something's going on.
What yes. are they eating?
What are they doing?
Yes. Well, and I think that there's a release that comes. There's a release that comes when you know that the Lord accomplished what you prayed or what you spoke.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we don't want to be led by what we see in the natural. Although, if you're standing in faith, there will be a result
yes.
in the natural. Yeah. What we're saying is, though, in the short run, you can't be distracted off of what you are believing for just because in the natural you don't see or feel
mm-hmm. yeah.
a change.
Well, there's a scripture that talks about don't cast away your confidence because it has great recompense and reward. Mm-hmm. You stay on it until you feel like the Lord's like, okay, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it. Let's move on. But I think there's always a staying in faith no matter what, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't lay down and be lazy.
No, because you have an enemy.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's going to try and work against you. Hey, listen, we just got a few more moments here on the podcast. Bob and Christine, you have any closing thoughts? You just want to, what kind of bow do you want to put on this podcast?
You know, today there's lots of voices out there. Social media, the regular media, and there's a lot of shouting and yelling going on.
Oh, man.
And we can't let that influence us in what the Lord has told us and destroy our authority. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have to tune that stuff out. You have to turn it off mm-hmm. and get into the word. And last night at church, I was talking with one lady, and she says, we got to start speaking the word more, not our ideas, not our thoughts, mm-hmm. not our opinions, the word. We That's need good. To apply the word, nothing else but the word.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Amen. Well, and don't, like I mentioned earlier, don't slack up. You stay in that authority, stay in your seat. Miss Billy talks about every morning she sits down and she takes her seat and she speaks over her family. And every evening she sits down and she finishes the day on that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's be diligent. And I'm not talking about legalism or, you know, formulas. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you do that word every day. You speak it every day and you don't let up.
Wow. Well, folks, we're out of time today on the podcast, but hey, tune in again. This is going to be kind of a theme we're going to be on here. We've got at least a few more podcasts where we want to help you. We want to give you these biblical strategies. We want you to be motivated to start calling the shots. Who gives the orders?
We do.
We do.
Yeah, hallelujah.
You need to practice that, friend. Don't let the devil tell you what to do. You tell him what to do. Hallelujah. Well, if you were blessed, encouraged, challenged, or even if we ticked you off, send us an email. hello@gracecitychurch.tv. We'd love to see how the podcast has blessed you. Give us a call, my friend. If you need prayer, 870-741-9099. Give us a call. Leave a message. We'll get right back with you. We're here for you. Thank you for joining us today. Grace for This City podcast, biblical strategies and motivation to help you turn your city upside down. I think I'm going to sign off. Guys, let's sign off today on the podcast with this. Listen, you give the orders. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless y'all. We'll see you right here again next Thursday. Find us on Facebook. Find us on our YouTube channel. We'll see you next week.